If you seriously need to save on groceries, and more for less is what you crave, Food City understands the struggle is real. That's why their high-quality store brands are such a great deal. Nobody does quality and savings like Food City.
Put on your helmet, fasten your chin strap, and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Happy hump day, everybody. It's the Eric Ainge Show here on the Sports Animal. Logan Ward filling in for Brian Rice.
Yeah, how about that?
Ben Hardy. Hardy. The crowd goes crazy. And producing for us. I didn't get my hot tea. Can barely talk again.
Any yelling at some middle schoolers last night? Or no, practice last night?
No practice last night. Yep, no. And the kids are all well-behaved. I don't really yell at them anyway. I just kind of look at them like, what are you?
You give them the look.
What are you doing? Yeah. Like, it's worse. You yell
figure it out. Yeah.
As a dad, if you yell all the time, then they don't hear any of it. So I just like, I pick and choose when I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I give them the look.
Was
47 times a day.
Was Monday night the really first time you just lost it on them?
On the middle school team?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're playing Thursday tomorrow, but we're only finishing the game that got canceled from Lightning last week. So it's like a quarter and a half.
Oh, that's weird.
And you got to practice Monday, Tuesday. Started to get a little cold. It was raining on Monday. I get it. I probably wouldn't have been paying attention either. And they're the ones that are laughing now because I have a job where I have to talk. And I'm like,
radio. Well, welcome into the Eric Ainge Show here on a Wednesday. Ben Hardy producing for us from the Budweiser Studios of Cumulus Broadcasting. Ainge, let's just jump right into it. Let's take a look at the game plan.
No quarterback goes into battle without a game plan. The Eric Ainge Show looks to the sideline to kick off the drive every day with the game plan. The game plan is laid out by 42nd Street. Visit 42SD.com today.
All right, well, on a Wednesday last night, the Braves won Game 1 of the World Series. Eric, did you watch? Do you care? Where are you at with the World Series?
So I watched. There wasn't anything better on TV than watching World Series. So I'm watching it. I don't really care who wins. I guess I'm kind of partial to the Braves because I grew up a Braves fan.
Okay.
But I also grew up a 49ers fan, and I can't stand the 49ers. So I'm one of those guys that because my fandom, I moved all over the country, kind of paid attention, didn't pay attention.
Would Seattle have been the closest team to you out in Oregon?
They were awesome, too. They had Randy Johnson, Ken Griffey Jr., Edgar Martinez, Joey Cora, Jay Buhner. They were ridiculous, but it doesn't matter where you live. You have, at that point in time anyway, I don't know what it is now, WGN, Chicago, and you had TBS.
Yeah, all the big affiliates. You just kind of root for those teams.
So
yeah.
I was either, growing up, you were either a Braves fan or you were a White Sox Cubs fan. But I got, in Oregon, we got more White Sox than Cubs game. I could have seen myself growing up a Cubs fan. I'm glad it didn't.
Right.
They're
you had a whole bunch of, 30 years of nothing.
Of just nothing. You know, the Braves were fun. I was number 10 in sports because of Chipper Jones. He was my favorite player. Greg Maddux, I modeled my pitching game as a kid. My dad, we used to study Greg Maddux film to be a pitcher. And I got a fun fact for you.
Okay.
They're talking about Brian Jordan, Kaner. You know, it's like his favorite two-sport, athlete, football, baseball. I played in St. Louis Cardinals fantasy camp a few years ago. And when you do that, they put their legends, like Ozzie Smith is out there teaching people how to turn double play. It was the coolest thing ever. Brian Jordan was on the other team and I was pitching and I struck him out once and I got him to fly out to second the second time. And I was intolerable.
So trash, no one could tell you anything.
Nothing.
Absolutely. The rest of the day.
Absolutely.
That's
nothing.
Very funny.
I struck out three times. I didn't care. I was like, I'm not here to hit. I'm here to strike out Brian Jordan. And then he had fun with it too. And he was like, come on, let's go again. I was like, no, the game's over. We don't need to. Let's not
stop
get crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's not get crazy. I won. It's okay.
So, yeah, the Braves did take game one last night over the Houston Astros in Houston. So, a big game one victory for the Braves, 6-2. I watched a little bit of it. I had money on the Astros. I lost money. Big topic Wednesday. Obviously, on Wednesday, Brian started that. I will continue that. I want to ask you and then the fans at 656-9900, When was the last time you were this excited slash optimistic about Tennessee football?
That's a good one.
Interesting question, because I think that there was some, you know, optimism under Butch Jones, a little bit under Pruitt after year two when they went on that, you know, seven-game winning streak.
Yeah.
Didn't really feel sustainable. This has a different feel to it, and I'll get you to, you know, show me your work of why you feel this optimistic. And then bowl projections coming up at 10:30. I mean, November's next week. Bowl season is right around the corner. And Ainge, I'm going to lay out a few for you. There's a lot of ACC teams. There is one that is very, very spicy, and I hope you like mayonnaise.
I consider myself more of a Duke than a what's the other one? Ben Hardy. What's the other mayonnaise brand?
Does Heinz make mayonnaise?
French's or
that's,
something?
Something like that. That might be it. It's like a long word in cursive. Pelman's? No.
I don't even know. Well, 656-9900 if you want to give us your favorite mayonnaise.
I'm a normal mayonnaise.
I don't like mayonnaise.
You don't want anything?
The texture of it is just not, I mean, it doesn't fit my palate.
Do you like tuna fish?
No, Lord, no.
No?
I don't like
okay.
tuna.
Okay.
I'm not a big seafood eater.
Yeah, really?
I'm more of, you know, steak. Hamburgers, you know, yeah, throw some mustard ketchup on that. Well, not the steak.
You grew up in a landlocked state.
That's true. That's true. Then Mike Tomlin had some interesting comments when asked about if he would go to college.
I love, like, he never gets angry.
Right. Yeah.
Ever. The guy's been coaching in Pittsburgh forever. And he's had, like, a couple moments.
He's won a Super Bowl, too. Why would he leave?
It's a stupid conversation. Everybody does it every single year. You know, but... I did see an NFL Live analyst say, listen, I hear what he's saying, Nick Saban. I will not be the coach at Alabama next year. ... Hold my beer.
Yeah.
They can say what they want. The reason that people think maybe they're just smoke screening because of Nick Saban.
I don't think so, but so we'll touch on that a little bit. I think it's pretty funny. And then what would we prefer? We prefer to be a college coach or a NFL coach. You put up with a lot of crap if you're a college head coach, especially now with name, image, and likeness being at, you know, the forefront that it is. Then over under at 11 o'clock, and that's the game plan laid to you by 42nd Street.
You mentioned that NIL stuff right there. Quick plug for any Tennessee basketball fan. Kennedy Chandler, brand new 5-star McDonald's All-American point guard, will be at AP Sevier, and it's Autographed Plus in Sevier County. APSevier.com. You can book your time, buy your ticket to get in there and get an autograph and take a picture with him and all that fun stuff. It's tonight at 6 o'clock, I believe, but check it out, APSevier.com. And that is the game plan. It's laid out for you by 42nd Street Design, 42st.com. You got a business you're wanting to start, haven't started it. It's in that inception phase. Get a logo done by Mike and his team at 42nd Street. You got the logo, you started the company, you've been in business for 30 years. It's kind of tailoring off, and there's all these up-and-coming companies, just like you were at some point. Now there's those other guys coming in, taking your customers. You need to beat them online. If you beat them online, then you beat them with reputation. You beat them with the fact that you've been doing it for 30 years, 20 years, whatever. The only thing they have is the fact that they can look better online. New companies, you got to beat them. If you're a new company, got to use 42nd. If you're not, got to use 42nd Street to stay numero uno. Again, 42st.com.
So this is off topic for a second, but my gosh, was it cold this morning.
42 degrees.
You're in shorts and a short sleeve shirt. How are you doing this?
Because I have an extra layer of old man on me.
Of protection, and yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm good.
And
I'm good.
Guess you grew up in the Northeast, so...
Northwest,
you know.
I lived in the Northeast for 5 years.
Well, okay,
oh,
yeah, that's true.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, how are the New York winters?
Dude, they would... like bulldoze or you know, clear one half of the outside the field to practice. And then you'd play on that the side they just did. And by the time that one was recovered in snow, they had done the other side. And there were these huge mounds of snow. It was like 2 or 3 weeks at the end of the year, every year. When you're a starter, it's miserable. When you are a backup and you stand there, like I was hands down the pants. Every day, just sitting there, the hand warmer. No,
the hand
not
warmer.
You'd have them all in there, but then I'd be out there, and then Favre, his would get not. It'd be like not hot enough. He'd be like, "Hey, go get me some more hand warmers." And I was like his guy. I had to do everything for him. So I'm like, "All right." So I'd go. I'd like give him mine. He'd be like, "No, those aren't new. You've had those. Go get new ones." I'm like, "Okay, I'll go get them."
You ever still talk to Favre, by the way?
Every once in a while. Okay. He came here for a football game like 2 years ago, I think, 2 or 3 years ago.
He's a legend.
Orca Coolers, he was there.
Okay. Interesting, but yeah, we will be with you here until noon. Eric, I want to play devil's advocate with you, and I am not making this argument. Let me just go ahead and throw that out there. Why are we so optimistic about Tennessee football right now, even though they lack the air quotes good win? You've really, you know, the trend has been you play close games against, Ole Miss, Pittsburgh, arguably could have won both of those games, and then you go get blown out versus Florida, don't show up in the second half, and then you play three quarters and 2 minutes against Alabama, and they cover 25 on you. Why are we so optimistic about it? I have a theory, but what's yours?
Well, so I was just talking to Aaron Murray and Peter Burns from the SEC Network.
Name dropped.
It's on their show. It's really good in the morning. Don't listen to it. Listen to ours.
But, yeah, right.
And they were kind of asking the same thing, and I was like, here's the thing. Like, I feel like part of the reason that we are impressed is because we didn't have, like, expectations. We had no idea what we were going to get. Even if you were optimistic, like most college football fans are every year, doesn't matter whose team you're, other than Vandy, even South Carolina fans had some hope to start the year. They got a new coach. Who knows what it's going to look like? I feel like for us, the how we're playing the best teams is more important, in my opinion, than blowing out some terrible teams. We do our SEC power rankings every Wednesday or Tuesday, and South Carolina and Vandy and Missouri are the last three teams.
Every week.
Every single week. So correct. You beat the 13th best team and the 12th best team in the conference by a million. But if you turned around after doing that and you got your butt kicked by Ole Miss and you got your butt kicked by Alabama, which I don't even look at score in those games. Like those games, when those players are done, we've had people call in that were at the game. Their fans were terrified and nervous. Saban said it during the week, during halftime, post-game, that he knew they were a good football team and they've been getting ready. It didn't seem like a token throwout. Like he was like, hey, I don't know why we thought this could happen.
Yeah, that's they can't just roll out of bed and beat Tennessee.
Like, that's not going to happen. They played
too
hard on defense.
Not this Tennessee team. Maybe last year's, but not this year's.
And I feel like when Nick Saban says stuff like that, he doesn't give everybody praise. Usually he just doesn't say anything.
Right.
But when he does do it, I believe him. Watching the game, I think anybody would. The first three quarters, you're going, we have a one-score game going to the fourth quarter. The defense had to play 200 snaps in 8 days. Like, they were done. I'm surprised they played as well in the third quarter, keeping it 3-3. I didn't think they were going to do that. I thought halftime, and it's going to come out.
They were on the field for 193 plays the last 2 weeks.
Insane. And so that kind of stuff matters. Ole Miss ends up beating you, but, like, you gave them all they wanted to, and their quarterback had a Heisman day. And everyone's like, yeah, it's Tennessee. But then they watch a game, and they're like, oh, man, that was really impressive. They're pretty good on defense. They were after him. They were getting in the backfield, TFLs left and right. And Corral did what Corral does. He, in my opinion, is the front runner for the Heisman. The next guy on the list is the quarterback we just played, Bryce Young at Alabama.
And then also Kenny Pickett jumped up there a lot, too. Yeah.
Literally, yeah. No, so, like, we have played the three quarterbacks that are playing as good or better than anybody in the country. And you played them pretty tough.
Right.
And I feel like that's what people care. Well, I'm not telling you what people. For me, you asked the question, why optimism right now? Because when other teams prepare to play us, they're preparing to play a game they could lose. And they know that. And the play calls and everything you go watch, it fits that narrative. I don't care at all that we hammered Missouri and hammered South Carolina. I think that was important to the players because they hadn't done that. They did that, and they were like, hey, maybe we are pretty good. You don't know it when you play Pitt. Yeah, they're pretty good. Well, they're actually really good. They have a chance to be in, like, a really good bowl game.
Right.
We get into that later in the show. But you've played really good football teams, and you've played them all really tough, and you could make an argument, play here, play there, that the game is different. And that to me is what I have – what makes me optimistic. We're playing the toughest teams on our schedule, and we're giving them all they want.
I think you see, finally, Tennessee finally looks prepared on offense and prepared on defense. I mean, defense, say what you may, ranked, in the 80s in total defense in the entire country this season, but they just seem to, there's no pushovers on that defense. They play incredibly, incredibly hard. I know we joke about how, you know, they go out there and just compete, but they play incredibly, incredibly hard. And I think for them getting healthy going into Kentucky, into Georgia, and then obviously dominating Vanderbilt and South Alabama, I think that's key. But I'm kind of curious, though. I think it might be just a product of where football, particularly college football, is in general. It's not a lot of defense. You're scoring a whole bunch of points, and it's just so far the other direction from what it was last season and under Jeremy Pruitt, and really, you know, the greater, you know, last part of years of Butch Jones, where they weren't scoring a lot of points. Now it just looks sexy.
I feel like everyone's projection. I said 8-4, but I was really saying 7-5. But for the fun on the radio, I said 8-4. I really thought we would be 7-5, and
now I think it's likely.
It's likely, and I feel like when you look at most people's preseason projections, there was 3-9 to 5-7.
I had them 5-7.
That was the majority. And I mean, that was what the majority, even Tennessee fan, that is what the majority of people who care thought. There was a few in the 6-6 category, hardly any in the 7-5.
The Vegas win total was about 6-6, you know, 6.5 over
something like that. Yeah. So, I mean, like that. If you beat Pitt early, which we absolutely could have, especially if Hooker wouldn't have had to come in and fumble the ball and then get his sea legs back underneath him and get to playing good. Like if Hooker starts that game, if Milton gets hurt against Bowling Green, Hooker goes out there from the first snap, I genuinely believe we would have beat Pitt. And Pinkett played pretty good. He wasn't like insane against us. He was pretty good.
If Hooker hits a deep ball and what are the five he missed? Open. Exactly. Yeah. If he hits one of them, I think Tennessee wins that game.
So you look at all that stuff included, and you go, okay, well, to wrap up your question, where does the optimism come from? It comes from, I understand the players being excited about Missouri and South Carolina. I get that. They have not done that. They've been beat down emotionally. The last staff ripped them to shreds mentally and emotionally all the time. They had some success and like flamboyant, like whoa success. But, and I get that that lasted for them probably that day, you know, post-game press conferences, stuff like that.
Right.
Heupel and the staff were not, they were happy. You can't be, you're never mad when you win by 30. But there was not a complacency. Look, we're playing really good. We're great. That didn't exist. They were on to the next week and they just got better. And on to the next week and they kept getting better. And you're playing really, really good football teams. That's not stopping. You get a bye week, thank God. But then you get Kentucky and Georgia coming up after that. There are nothing but really good football teams that Tennessee will have played in the last month, month and a half. And if you looked at that, you would think, well, we can't beat Kentucky. We're not going to beat Georgia. But in the spirit of Alabama, what if you play Georgia for three quarters?
Yeah.
And everyone's going, like last year we played them for a half. And then they came out and they just waxed us in the second half.
I think Tennessee could score on Georgia just because they run so many plays.
Yeah, and they play fast and they present problems and they do that and they're well coached and they're all on the same page. I don't see a lot of just like glaring weakness type things from us.
Right.
We don't have a lot of players. The ones that are playing are good. The ones that are hurt, we got guys filling in. We don't have any depth. We play a million snaps on both sides of the ball. And yet none of that is used as an excuse by the head coach. And when the head coach isn't saying that kind of crap, then you know he's not saying it privately. You know, good job, guys, considering everybody was hurt and we have all the... No. Mm-hmm. He's in the Alabama game. They're mad. They're in the locker room furious. We should have won that football. You know, they're saying we should have won that football game. Even if that's true or not, they felt like that. And if you can feel like that and it's real, call it a moral victory. I don't care. That mattered to me. They weren't going, guys, we did good through three quarters. Like all the media, everyone else says that. You know who can't say that? The damn football team and the football coach.
Is it concerning, though, that, you know, it's kind of, you know, held the same through Butch, you know, first couple games of Heupel is, you know, you kind of play close games with, you know, teams that are similar, you know, Pitt, Ole Miss, you know, Kentucky, I think should be a fairly close game. Wouldn't shock me.
They wouldn't if shock goes me if, out. Either, if either team won right, or right. won by 100%, two
touchdowns. But is it kind of concerning that you look at the scoreboard and I get, you know, the final score is not always indicative of, you know, how that game played out. You get blown out by Florida, don't show up in the second half, and then you don't cover a 25-point spread against Alabama? Or is that just, hey, we know we have a good system, we just don't have the dogs yet to go out there and finish a game like Pitt, like Ole Miss, like Florida, like Alabama? Is that it?
I mean, I'm going to hit that on the other side. Before I answer your question about Tennessee football, if you have somebody in your life that is a huge Tennessee basketball fan, men's basketball fan, it could be you, it could be brother, uncle, niece, nephew, anybody, apsevier.com. Go there, buy your ticket to go see McDonald's All-American Kennedy Chandler, who's going to be doing an NIL deal, an appearance, an autograph deal at Autographs Plus in Sevier County. And you can get anyone's name on it. If you're like, for me, I wouldn't want one necessarily for me. I have some serious, huge Tennessee basketball fans in my life. Right. And if you could go get that with the 5-star point guard, best Christmas present ever, like $50 and you're done out the door, and they'll like it more than anything else you can get, apsevier.com.
And it could be worth something one day. And
oh, yeah.
You can bring anything.
It's worth something emotionally to a Tennessee fan if he's a baller like
if
we think he is.
If he booms in the NBA,
dude,
yeah.
I've heard, we always hear stuff.
Right.
I have some good folks that let me know things. And Kennedy Chandler apparently is awesome.
I believe it. I believe it.
Basketball is one of those sports, too. It's like, oh, football, there's circumstantially other things, you know, right. Your pitcher, whatever. Basketball, you roll the thing out there and you play. And he's a baller.
Baller's so. Ball. So, yeah, you can bring any personal item to have him sign, or they're even providing you an 8x10 photo for Kennedy Chandler to sign 6 to 7 tonight in Sevier Bowl.
To whoever. Bing, bang, boom. Best Christmas present ever.
So, Tennessee basketball just right around the corner. So, Ainge, we tease it on, you know.
Yeah, I already forgot what
last
you said.
Side. Okay. Is it just, you know, Tennessee lost close games to Ole Miss, to Pittsburgh. Everything that happened against Ole Miss, Tennessee almost, and darn well almost went down and won that game if Cedric Tillman catches that ball that goes off his fingertips. And then you get blown out by Florida and Alabama. Now, those two scores might be a little misleading at times. Is it just that Tennessee doesn't have the guys, the dogs yet to go win those close games? They clearly don't have the dogs yet to go beat Florida, to beat Georgia, to beat Alabama. You can compete with those teams, but those close games where I believe there shouldn't be a huge talent gap between Tennessee, Kentucky, and Pittsburgh. Tennessee should have more talent than them, but they don't have the dogs yet, I feel, to go win a game that they're comfortable in year one of a brand new head coach, new system.
And I mean, the results say that. So to disagree, I don't disagree with that. But
and I'm playing devil's advocate more than anything.
No, I get it. But like, okay, so like for me, when you watch any football team, everybody knows before the game who the better team is. Both teams know. The fans know. The media knows. Everybody knows. That I don't mean that in a like lopsided fashion. There's games that are very, very good. And often the comment is this early in the year, we don't know who the better team is. I feel like Tennessee a few times this year has gone out there and yeah, maybe I might think different, but national media, people calling the game, regional sports talk, everybody, they don't think Tennessee is as good as them. And if you play a team into the fourth quarter, I mean, right, there's not really any way to say it other than you competed until you didn't have enough left. And I don't necessarily know that it's the players. The players we had were good enough for three quarters against Bama, almost the whole game against Ole Miss. You know, Florida, we hit them. Like, they were, Florida, when we played them, was really good. They were good the week before, too.
They got problems.
They have problems, and they've dropped off, and it's a whole thing, and it's personnel, it's coaching, it's understanding, it's all that stuff that happens with coaching quarterbacks. Literally, you got a good football team, you screw that part of it up, and you have an average or bad football team.
Just put the better guy in there.
No, and it's not that complicated. So, like, I feel like with Tennessee right now, we have enough players to play with anybody for a certain amount of time. If Tennessee played 60 snaps on defense against Ole Miss, would they have petered out after the third quarter at Alabama? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe you don't have a game that, you know, they end up covering the spread. Maybe it's down to the last couple drives, and then you wear them out. you go make a few plays. You know, I think the difference is with a lot of these teams, we're playing teams close, and we're not beating them. None of them. Pitt, Florida, Ole Miss, and Alabama. All four of those games. You played them tough.
And in the Pitt game and Ole Miss game, you ruined chances to win that game. I mean, exactly. Tennessee just jumped off sides again against Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, but like, so you're good enough to do that, which means you turn around and look at it and you go, well, Emory Jones, when we played him, was really good. They have mentally mind-blanked that kid and probably to the point where he shouldn't even play anymore.
I agree.
It's just like they have messed him up mentally. But when we played him, he was a freak. He was awesome.
He almost beat Alabama the year prior.
Yes. Same with Pickett. Same with Corral. Same with Young. We have played and lost to four teams that are very good football teams with really amazing quarterback play. And when you have that, it's the biggest deficiency maker upper. I'm like, how good would we have looked if in those games, if against Missouri, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Alabama, if Harrison Bailey's out there playing quarterback, can't run, pressure's in his face, no one's open, doesn't understand it. I mean, we would not be saying this. We also have had a quarterback. I'm not saying he's Corral or Young or one of those guys, or Pickett, but he's very good. He's playing very good. He's very efficient. He's making plays. He's moving the chains. He's given us a chance. We are going to be against Kentucky, playing against a team with a quarterback that's comparable. He's good.
He's a pretty good athlete.
No, he's a great athlete. But I think if I had to pick between him and Hooker.
Oh, it's Hooker.
Yeah. I would pick Hooker, but right. I mean, but he's still a very good player. He's very athletic.
Right.
Everything else is even-ish. The reason that's, what did Tyler Wyatt say, like two?
Two and a half to two, two half, points like, in favor like, of Kentucky.
Yeah, and you asked him about last week, right?
No? I asked him on Monday night, I believe.
Okay. So
forecasting ahead to next weekend.
So you look at all that stuff, man, and what all that means is when we play good teams, we will have a football game late into the game, and if you make a couple plays or you don't botch a couple plays, Pittsburgh, 13 penalties, destroying point scoring opportunities, Ole Miss, even though they have Corral and he had a freak of a night as a quarterback, mm-hmm. you still had a chance to win the game at the very end, missed time jump. And the ball's off your fingertips. And then we ran out of bounds. But, I mean, we still had a chance to win that football game.
Right.
Kiffin's leaving. We're throwing stuff. That's not cool. But I guarantee in his mind, he's walking out of there, and he's going, whew.
We got out alive, yeah.
Whoa. We escaped Knoxville, barely, but we did. And that to me, means something.
I think the margin of error with this football team, with Tennessee, because you are kind of having to rebuild the roster. You know, Josh Heupel's, system is a whole lot different there, recruiting a different style of offensive player, especially at quarterback, than what Jeremy Pruitt and his staff was. The margin of error is very slim. Now, you lose, really, your six best players to the portal. Get absolutely decimated. Kavarius Crouch is third on Michigan State's team in tackles. Henry Toto, first on Alabama's team in tackles. Then there's some other guys on the offensive line, and DeAndre Johnson now playing at Miami. The margin of victory for this Tennessee team is very, very slim, and that's why they did lose those close games against Pittsburgh, against Ole Miss, and then you get blown out by Florida and Alabama. That's just where better players, if you have the better players, and that remains to be seen, can Josh Heupel, can the staff get some, highly rated 4-5-star guys to come in, and that margin of error, becomes very, very, smaller to where you can make up if you have 12 penalties a game against a team like Pittsburgh and Ole Miss, and then you can still beat those teams. Now, if you have 12 penalties against Florida and Alabama, you're probably not going to win those games. I just look, down the line. For right now, yes, it's good, but Tennessee to then compete with Alabama and Georgia and Florida, which is the expectation here at Tennessee, and then in turn down the road beat those teams, that could happen. They have the coaches. They have the scheme that can do it.
We have a coach right now that has already proven in 1 year that
he knows
whatever
he's
got, he can get the most out of him. So, to your point, he's getting the most out of what we got, and I think he'll do that regardless. Nick Saban does that. He's the best coaches in the country. They do that. It's like, whatever you give me, I'm going to get the most out of that. We will get individually and collectively everything out of these guys that is possible to get. So as you put better players in there, if you put Heupel in that same category, which I think you have to based on his whole career, and then what he's done here this year in the hardest conference with a lot of tough games to play, not a lot of time to get his guys ready, and he's got them ready, then yeah, you get him better players. That doesn't stop. If you get the most out of guys and the players get better, you get better. It's not, you know, it's really a pretty simple thing. But yeah, overall, I'm optimistic because he has me thinking that we can beat anybody we play. But I feel like we can.
656-9900. Let's get your thoughts on this. Big Topic Wednesday coming up at the start of the 10 o'clock hour, then over under coming up at 11 o'clock. And we'll talk a little bit. You know, Mike Tomlin had some comments as well. We'll hit that later on in the show. But you said something, getting the most out of guys. Hendon Hooker, I think, you know, wasn't supposed to be the guy this year. Now he is the guy. He's been very good. Want to get your thoughts on, obviously, Hendon Hooker, you know, was brought in under Pruitt. Josh Heupel, I thought, now looks very, very lucky to have Hendon Hooker on this roster. You know, thanks, Jeremy Pruitt.
There's one thing.
There's one thing. What can he do better in the offseason? Yes. What can he improve on this week in the offseason? Is it just flat out easy, get healthy?
You mean the off week? I could talk for an hour about what he should do coming back for next year. But you mean like right now, we're on the radio, they're over there doing their thing.
By Kentucky, what should he improve on the most outside of just get healthy?
So the first thing with quarterbacks ever, no matter what kind they are, is decision making. What do you do with the football? And I actually think he is already playing at a very, very high level from a decision-making standpoint.
He is, yeah.
You know, like, they don't do a ton of drop-back passing, but that's because they don't want, I mean, that's not their thing. They can. And I think that as he continues to understand coverage, see, what Heupel does is he eliminates the like, half or more of what the quarterback for him has to see and think and process. Like, for me, I couldn't run. We didn't play with tempo, but I was smart and I had a really good coach. So we played at the line of scrimmage. We'd go up there and hut and go in the gun and go under center, fake them, look, get play calls. I'd have a little system that I had. I'd call my own plays. It worked for us. So my decision making was pretty good. Hooker's doing it. What he's doing is more simple, but that's not a knock on him.
And he's having to do it at a faster pace with their offense.
He has to do it at a faster pace, which means the amount of stuff to think about. It has to be quicker. You don't have all that time to look at them and mess with them and look them off. They don't do that. They play fast, but not at the expense of understanding. If you do that, like Butch tried to do that, and they just couldn't do it. Systematically, it wasn't good. They just tried to play fast, but they didn't teach the guys hardly anything. Mm-hmm. So when you're playing fast and it's a different look than you thought, you're flustered. And don't get me wrong, you can be a sloth-footed quarterback and play in one of these tempo offenses, but it's not like that is not, everyone always says for Heupel, it's not just Heupel. If you play crazy up-tempo, then the quarterback has to be able to be involved in the run game. I mean, look at Ole Miss. I mean, they're going to tell him, maybe not 30. You know, like let's not. You're not going to be able to play if you keep doing that. Running backs.
And that's
don't
a
do
big
that.
Thing with Harrison Bailey not really seeing significant playing time this year. He might have the arm talent. Exactly.
He just can't do what they want him to
exactly.
do. Exactly. And maybe he could get so smart that they would lean that direction, because there are tempo guys that will do that. You get a guy that's just that dang smart and can throw it that well, then they'll put the athletic guys on the bench to have you out there because of your decision making. They can put more on you, but you got to make up for it one way or the other. Can you run? No. Okay. Then you have to be twice as smart as the guys that can run. And that's also not what the rest of the team wants to do. It's the first year. They could have a quarterback that's not Hendon Hooker. They could do what they want him to do, but his decision making has been very, very good.
It has been. And you know, the one pick he threw against Pittsburgh was the right play that
you don't ever see that when you do a really good play and you're looking down here and they're coming from the other side, you don't even see.
He made a really good play. Then obviously the miscommunication in the Alabama game.
He's only got two though. I mean, the kid's playing good.
656-9900, 17 touchdown passes to 2 interceptions. That's pretty darn good.
Pretty darn
656-9900. On the other side, we'll hit Big Topic Wednesday over under coming up at 11 o'clock. Eric Gange here. Logan Ward's in for Brian Rice, Ben Hardy in for me.
Dude,
across
just
the glass.
It.
I'm just in here.
Baby.
You know me.
Logan Ward.
The Eric Gange Show coming up next.